Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. And this is the podcast where we pick a topic and we haul it from start to finish, front to back. So today we're doing something a little differently. We're kind of doing like a haul off, if you will. Elizabeth, noted Swiftie, for those of you that listen to our Taylor Swift Eras haul, you know this about her. For those of you just joining the Too Niche fam, this is essential info.
I'm a late in life Swiftie. I think that's also important. Like, there's a sector of us who found her like later on.
Yeah.
And I'm in that category.
I would also categorize myself as a late in life Swiftie.
Hell, you became a Swiftie
because of
in
you.
Real time mm-hmm. on the last episode, which it's was true. A phenomenon to watch.
And then I am a deadhead. So I just spent this past couple months attending five Grateful Dead shows, or five Dead and Company shows, I should say. And Elizabeth last night just went to Eras Tour at SoFi Stadium. So we thought, what better topic for a haul than Taylor Swift Eras Tour versus Dead and Company, the final tour?
I love that this is our version of Versus. This mm-hmm. is good.
This is a really good Versus. The Versus game has been weak sauce lately, but we're here to mix things up in a real way. And I didn't realize this when we kind of incepted this idea, but this is a multi-layered Versus because it's Taylor Swift versus John Mayer. And that is spicy.
It's topical.
Mm-hmm.
The Hetlers will love it.
Yeah. Wait, the Hetlers?
Hetlers.
What's the Hetlers?
The Hetlers.
Are they anti-Taylor?
No, they're those that believe they're like the opposite of a Gaylor.
Oh, they should rebrand that name.
Yeah, I hate
it's
that
a
name.
It's too like close.
A hetero Taylor, which, whatever.
That's a little too close to a man named Hitler.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Case. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Hetlers will say Taylor is a hetero cis woman.
Yes.
And the Gaylors say, she might be announcing her album 1989 on Carly Kloss's birthday.
Right. And then the Kaylors will say.
Who are the Kaylors?
Those that believe that Carly and Taylor had a relationship.
Okay.
And then just to recap, the Weedlers believe that Taylor indulges in marijuana.
And are there Baylors that say Taylor's bi?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't.
I'd like to coin that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where probably I fall into the mix.
I think same.
Yeah. John Mayer stands, I don't know, just know he likes to fuck. He said that having sex with Jessica Simpson was like sexual napalm, which I always kind of thought was a compliment.
Me too.
Yeah. I was like, I would hope that a man would say that about me if asked.
So I have a Dead & Co. question, and yeah. I think I know the answer, but just to clarify, it's not Grateful Dead because the original members aren't there, so Dead & Co. is sort of like carrying the torch.
Yeah, so Dead & Co. formed with John Mayer playing lead guitar, and he's kind of taking over the Jerry Garcia role. They have a bassist named O'Teal, who's replacing Phil Lesh, the original bassist. Originally, they most always have two drummers. One of the drummers is the original drummer, and they used to be both the original drummers, but I think one of them is getting a little older and just like can't tour anymore. So they replaced him with another guy, but I'm not remembering his name off the top of my head. But that the newer drummer is like newer in the most recent like tour cycle, or like last year's tour cycle. And then Jeff Chimenti is a keyboardist who their keyboardist kind of has a high turnover rate. I think a lot of their keyboardists tend to pass away.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of like every band, the lore of every rock band, there's always like a high turnover rate for one of the musicians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For them, it's the keyboardist.
So How long was the original Grateful Dead? How long did that span?
From starting in the 60s, and then their last show was 1995.
Okay.
But that was like, throughout that time, there were multiple keyboardists, and there were some like backup singers that came and went. They kind of had different eras, but they were always known as like the Grateful Dead. And then Dead & Company, I believe, started in 2016 and just wrapped up their final tour in the year of our Lord, 2023.
Okay. I am dead curious. Everyone I know in my life that's into the Dead are great people. Love so that. It's always like a litmus test to me. If you're like into the Dead, I'm like, oh, you're cool.
It's a really good scene. It's like a much like the Taylor and the Swifties scene. It's a very dedicated fan base. So like, I think there's a lot of crossovers.
Yes.
Like if you're a Deadhead or you're going to a Dead show, it's very common to wear Grateful Dead merch of some sort. Like it's not looked down upon. It's actually like you're going to be like an odd man out if you're not wearing Grateful Dead merch.
Right.
So that reminds me a lot of like Swiftie culture.
So I procured a ticket literally less than a week ago. I did not know that I was going to be able to go. However, I did say, I believe on this very mic, I have a feeling that I will get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And
you manifested.
I truly did. And
not just a ticket, a free ticket, right?
A free ticket.
That's huge in this economy. I just went kind of like crazy. I think I was mid-tour and then realized because a listener turned friend who came to the Chicago show, Colleen, shout out Colleen, told, she was like, oh, her boyfriend has a podcast called Guess the Year that I was on, where you like, I curated a set list and then a bunch of contestant like Deadheads had to guess the year of each song, and it's like a game show essentially. And Colleen came to the Chicago show and she was like, Mike was saying you played it so smart with the way your tour is organized, because you're like in every city that the Grateful Dead is in, or Dead & Company is in. And I was like, I did not plan that, but
see,
now
you manifested that.
Yeah, but then I also manifested, I guess I was like, I went rogue and just bought a bunch of tickets on StubHub because I got a bee in my bonnet and I was like, I'm just gonna go and like figure it out. But yeah, we both manifested our own live music.
It's a real journeys. Summer of George over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so attire. Let's start there.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, it is celebrated to wear Dead merch to a show.
Mm-hmm.
At a Taylor show, it is very celebrated, especially, I guess, this tour being the Eras tour. Pick an era. Now, as soon as I knew that I was going, the next question I got from like fellow Swifties in my life were like, what era are you going to go as? And I had already tapped out of that.
What I don't understand, like the aesthetics of each era, aside from like Folklore, which to me is like a doe-end dress and like a cardigan.
Right.
And maybe a long braid.
I think
that's probably the most accessible era to me.
So in this tour, this current tour, it seems to be setting the tone for what people wear to the show. So it's a lot of sparkle.
Okay.
So like think Bejeweled.
Mm-hmm.
And cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots are
and
huge.
And then there's a lot of like deep references where people like pick a lyric and go to town.
Like their outfit is an expression
like somebody,
of the lyric.
I walked by somebody and they were a chessboard and it said like checkmate, which was from a Midnight song.
Okay, wow.
Mastermind.
Wow, wow, wow.
But I decided I was just going to do white t-shirt and jeans and comfy shoes because that's the era that I'm in.
Is that like 1989? If you were pressed to like say an era.
Well, it's I wear t-shirts. So I decided that was going to be
okay.
That
cool.
Worked for me.
Yeah. I love the lore of what to wear. Like, I feel like Taylor has now ascended to the level of like an iconic band such as the Grateful Dead or like Beyonce, where it's its own whole thing. And there's this your own. But even Beyonce, I feel like you, it's not like we all dress up in certain outfits to go to Beyonce.
Right. People are just dressing up and like looking hot and like ready to go to Beyonce show. Like yeah. This is a little bit different. And I liked it. Like,
it's a gathering of like-minded individuals who care about one thing and one thing only. And that's either Taylor or the Grateful Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's where the similarities begin and end pretty much.
But I don't know. There's a lot more.
So I'm an avid collector of vintage Grateful Dead tees. It's like a passion of mine to keep like an eye out on eBay and Etsy, and just like I'm always having like a wish list of items and then keeping my collection strong. So I like to like trot those out for shows, and I wear them in like day-to-day life too. But I try and get I don't want to be wearing a shirt that like I see multiple people having. Like I want something that's like unique or kind of like a one-off or like a really deep cut. And so I was trying to bring that to the table for these shows.
I like that.
Yeah.
We got to talk merch for a second because mm-hmm. Taylor, the genius that she is, the mastermind that she is, has this blue crew neck that's exclusive to the tour. You cannot get it online. People were showing up at SoFi Stadium at 4:30 in the morning to wait in line for this classic crew neck sweatshirt with like minimal branding on it.
You could make that easy. Like I could make that for
there,
you.
Yeah, there's full dupes happening already on Etsy.
How much is it retail for?
I think like $65, maybe mm-hmm. $70. It's reselling on Poshmark right now for upwards of $250.
Smart.
And I mean, the intensity of the fans and knowing like what scarcity complex does. Truly, when I saw the merch lines, I was like, so I'm not getting merch. Like this isn't happening.
Oh, that was me too.
I just tapped out. And so I did not get the blue crew neck. I know I had told you that was my desire and it didn't happen. But I'm hoping that maybe I might be able to get one.
I think you'll be somehow. Able to get your hands on one.
Yeah.
Your manifest game is strong.
Thank you.
And what I've learned about merch specifically is if you want it badly enough, you'll figure out a way to get it.
Yeah. I think we were going to ask the person that got us the tickets if they could also
snag
a crew.
I'm sure that they can. Yeah, you need that crew.
Dying for the crew.
Now I like want a crew. That's the thing about merch is like once I start to see other people with this like great thing, then I want it for myself. And it's a good color.
It's
like a little
subtle,
bit weathered, oversized.
And it's not loud. It's font only. Like it just has everything that I want from Taylor merch. The Taylor merch, not great.
No.
Not good. I did not love the branding for the Eras Tour. I give it, that's sheesh to me.
Yeah, the branding, but that's kind of also just on brand with her because I feel like the branding is never really what I want it to be. Like Midnight's was like, oh, I like whatever this direction is that you're going. Like it's a little elevated. You're doing a smoky eye. You're doing some lighter work. I'm into that. But overall, I think that her personal style and like branding and merch game is a bit sheesh.
Yeah, it left something to be desired, but that's really my only sheesh of the entire experience, and we'll get more into that. Yeah, merch, not so much. But I did, okay, so the line at SoFi Stadium for the merch, I was in a VIP section, so I saw on TikTok that VIP has its own merch, and I was like, great, perfect. And then the line was out of control once we got there. So it was a no on the merch. And so then I thought to myself, as much as I love the Lover album, the Lover set list for me like left a little bit to be desired. So I thought to myself, okay, you know what? I think I'll give it like 15 minutes into the set. I feel like the line will calm down. People will be like, it's starting. So they'll get out of line. And so I was like, I can miss the Archer because to me that's not my favorite Taylor song controversial perhaps, but I don't like it. So I got up to go to the Archer, and who do I see? Just a few rows behind me as I'm walking up the stairs. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Shannon Bedore and the Ladies of Rock, all three daughters.
No.
It was major.
Oh my God, I have chills. I'm going to cry. That's a beautiful night out for her and the girls. That's gorgeous.
It was huge.
What a good mom. I love that they're going to have that memory forever. I know.
She did not look like she was having much fun.
Yeah, I don't think Shannon Bedore has fun in like big crowds.
So I went to the merch line. They were out of the Blue Crew. I was like, abort mission, went back. And as I was going back, Shannon and I passed each other. She looks incredible. Hair, body, face.
On fleek.
I did a double take.
Shannon's in an era.
Yeah.
She's entering a new era. Yeah.
It was pretty special. So she too, I think, like, was on the tip of like, I don't love this lover set list, so I'm going to go to the merch stand. And then the other time I saw her, the girls were like cheering and all that, and she was just like sitting and like not that much vibing. But who knows? She was probably just doing it for luck.
Being a chaperone to your girls.
Yeah. Beautiful moment.
I wish that she was having a little more fun, but I understand, like, maybe you're not really wanting to be there.
Yeah, she probably doesn't know all the words.
I know.
And I really think this show, if you didn't know the words, it's like not that fun.
That's the thing, is like, I went to a Harry Styles concert in October when he played his shows at the Forum, and I knew like one song, and then it turned out that it's not that fun if you don't know every single song, because after a while you can't even hear Harry singing and it's just a sing-along.
It's just everybody yelling the lyrics, which
is fun if you know the songs and you're like dancing, but like if you're like me, I was just like, whoa, like
you're like, okay. I'm not familiar with the Harry Styles catalog.
Mm-mm, I was not familiar.
I'm not either, but the Taylor catalog, that's, you know, my forte. Well. So it was great. But so that was my big celeb sighting.
I love
Shannon Bedore and the girls.
Where we were standing in the San Francisco show, my friends that I met up with and I all had like GA floor tickets. And right behind us, probably, you know, 20-ish feet. I didn't see him personally, but friends of mine who were like going to get a drink or going to the bathroom saw him. Andy Cohen, obviously, noted Dead & Company fan. I'm sad that I didn't see him, but it's also like, it's for the best.
I saw his outfit. It was strong.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a hemp pant with a pattern.
The thing about a Dead show is you can get really kooky with your look, or just like kind of weird or sloppy. Like it's the expect, like if you look really put together and like done up, you're actually gonna stick out and feel weird about that. So that's what I love about it, is because it's like you get everyone from like white dreadlocks, like how the fuck does this person even afford to like live their life, yet they're like here at every show in like beat up sandals and like hemp pants, to like tech bro dudes or like rich people, rich boomers that like love the Grateful Dead.
What's sort of the vibe of people? Are the people talking to one another? Are they in their own zone?
Really friendly vibe. Like most people are talking to each other, or like during the breaks or something, mm-hmm. or like when you're getting settled or like finding your seats, like it's a really friendly, encouraging audience.
Like, are they sharing drugs?
Sharing drugs. Like I was, so like the thing to do before a Dead show is to get there early, and you go to Shakedown Street, which is like, there's like official Shakedown, which is like, that is a row of tents and shops that kind of, I think, travels with the band or like travels around, and they're like not selling like merch, but they're selling their wares. And then there's like unofficial shakedown, which is like beyond that, which is where you get nitrous balloons, drugs. You can buy all sorts of t-shirts, like crystal. It's a really great place to go get crystals for a very reasonable price. Hemp necklaces, grilled cheese, you name it, it's there. But it's also can devolve into like a really dark scene.
I wish there was more parking lot culture at a Taylor show.
Maybe you have to be the parking lot culture you wish to see in the world.
Am I balloons? Anybody?
Doing nitrous pre-Eras tour would be really fun. I think that it is like a pink balloon. There's such a gap in the marketplace for like a female-owned nitrous mafia business to come in and just like clean the fuck up. Shannon Bedore might be having a little more fun if there were some ice cold fatties in the mix.
It seemed like, so walking in,
it doesn't seem like a drug crowd.
Definitely not a drug crowd. It was definitely, okay, I have like a full analysis of the crowd. So walking in, we have, there was some unofficial merch, but it was a lot of just like I Heart TS or like Swift 89, like kind of like a baseball style shirt. It just like wasn't anything that I was dazzled by, or like a pink cowboy hat. And that a lot of, there was multiple stands that had that, and I was just sort of like met on it because I love a parking lot unofficial merch. Some of my favorite concert tees have been procured from that scenario. So I was hoping for something to dazzle me. There wasn't anything. So we walked in, and the thing about a Taylor show that's tough is there's just like a lot of kids there.
Yeah.
I feel kind of mixed on that. I think like it's really cool if a parent, like I could see like having a daughter and wanting to have that moment. But also there was a child next to us who was miserable the whole time and seemed incredibly overwhelmed by this entire stadium of people. And like you can't really, I mean, there's just like all these random singing along, like it just isn't like an intimate experience that I think like a kid would have wanted. I don't know.
Yeah, I see that a lot at dead shows because there's like the Wooks who will bring, sometimes there's like babies on the lot or like really young kids on the lot, and I'm always really darked out by that because it's just like you're inevitably around a druggy scene,
right?
Like that kind of just goes hand in hand, though it's not what it's all about. It's just gonna be there. And like, to me, I wouldn't want my kid exposed to like, you know, people selling mushrooms, right, and nitrous and like Molly, like in a dirt parking
exactly
lot.
And I think that, I guess that's like the point for Taylor in terms, like obviously kids are familiar with her music. It's sort of the opposite of a druggy culture. People are trading bracelets instead of trading bumps. So it's sort of like, not that people would be doing bumps at Dead & Co. I don't know.
Very few bumps.
I feel like it's
of
not
all
like
the,
a
like, confiscated drugs, like at the Gourd show, like the local police shared the amount of things that were confiscated. There was like very little ketamine, like a surprisingly low amount of ketamine.
So I would
like
see that.
Weed, it's very weed. Mushrooms are flowing. Like we were standing in line to get into the Gourd show and had extra bottles of water, and you were allowed to bring like one unsealed bottle of water into the venue.
Same with Taylor.
So we had extras. So we just turned to the guy behind us and we're like, oh, do you want our water? Like we have an extra and you can have it if you want. And he was like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you. And he truly looked like a normal-ish guy, and reaches into his pocket, pulls out a huge handful of mushrooms, and just gives us each like three mushrooms.
Dreams.
I know. And it was like, thank you so much. He was like, thank you guys. Like, you're amazing. Here's some for you. Here's a, and was like, jackpot.
Love.
Like, it's like that.
Okay.
Where people are just down to share, and it's very like, have a good show, man. Like, it's very that.
Okay, people are really nice, but they weren't doing that.
They're not sharing.
It's like there's this big friendship bracelet culture that I really decided to tap into because I'm like, I'm not going to be like in cowboy boots and a sparkle dress, but what I can do is make niche references to Taylor songs and put them on a bracelet. And I decided that all of my bracelets were going to be gold, silver, or rose gold. So I like went for a full
metallic
theme. And I really loved how they turned out. I was really proud of it.
They're very bejeweled.
Really soothing.
I think I've like talked shit about grown ass women doing like crafts before, but I have to like backtrack on that position and say that I do appreciate like a beaded bracelet or any sort of like beaded necklacing or jewelry is like, I make an exception for that.
It's pretty fun. Paired really nicely with my almost at the end of Beverly Hills rewatch. I'm almost done, which is sad, and I don't know where I'm going to go next.
It's hard when something ends.
Yeah, but we're in Aspen right now. So this was a really nice coupling with that, and I brought some bracelets for you.
Thank you. Did you get any good like traction or street cred from your bracelets?
I had seen some friends prior to me going to the show that I knew were going. So like when I went to their house for dinner, like I brought bracelets, or like my Pilates teacher is an amazing Swiftie in that she plays so much Taylor music during the class, which is important,
mm-hmm.
and will get me to the class. So she had given me a bunch of bracelets, so I made her one. So I was like doing a little bit of like side trading.
You're trading.
And those were really appreciated.
Okay.
And like I let them pick and like do the whole thing. But you don't really like look at them and like see the referencing.
So it's like happening maybe after the fact or before
right.
the fact.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, the t-shirt culture, like especially because even on like unofficial or official Shakedown, like it was really bit like a really big Shakedown street in San Francisco. And there were all these people selling like really amazing vintage. Like what I'm mostly looking for now are like vintage like Jerry Garcia band shirts, because that was like
yeah.
his own band offshoot. And I was like, that's where my head's at now. Like I have to go deep dive into that niche and like see what I can find. And I found one that someone was selling, and I should have bought it in the moment, but like I was like, no, I'm not gonna do it right now. And I came back the next day thinking like, if it's still here, it's meant to be, and someone had already gotten it. So I was like, damn it. Then I just went on Etsy and bought something kind of similar that I loved. Like the guy that sold it to me like messaged her. He was like, it's going to be really hard to let this one go. It's been with me for a long time. Like, I hope you like take it. It was really funny
because that is
like how people yeah. are about
yeah.
these shirts.
People weren't precious about the bracelets, which I guess is the point. But yeah. it was just like created like a friendly atmosphere. Like we got to our seats and you like trade bracelets with the people around you to sort of be like, hi, we're together now.
Mm-hmm. We're all
don't mind me singing.
Fun.
Yeah. yeah. Should we talk set lists?
Yeah, let's talk set list.
Okay. So
let's talk lines to get in. Like, was it easy to get in to the venue, or was it like...
It was my first time at SoFi.
Okay.
My only other introduction to SoFi was via The Idol. So I was new here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little hectic because just like there's like hectic Swiftie energy is a certain temperature read. Like it just is like a little much. And a lot of, you know, sparkles on the ground already.
Do you have to take in like a small bag? Do they have
clear
bag?
Rules? Clear bag rule.
Clear bag only.
Clear bag, and then you can have. There's like a certain parameters for not clear. But
did you have the Uniqlo bag?
I didn't bring that one. Okay. So when I went to Rep Era, I did not know about the clear bag policy. Brought a vintage Gucci bag with me that I then had to check.
That happened.
That
to me
was
at the forum.
A true Firefest situation trying to get it back. I had left before the last song to enter the bag line that was already insane. And then the tents where all the bags were stowed had no lights. So everybody working there was using a flashlight. And it was after the end of the concert. People were pretty drunk. And it was, I've never seen anything more messy in my entire life. And luckily, I was with a drunk gay who's an entertainment manager, and he had like tequila confidence, and he was just like, get out of my way. Like, we're going in. And I was like, sure, whatever. I needed that energy, and that's the only way I got the bag back. So I was not making that mistake again. I had gotten a clear bag as from a brand in like a merch thing 4 years ago and held on to it because I thought to myself, one day I will be at a concert and I will need a bag. So I dug that out and I used the clear bag.
Smart. I was bamboozled by bag laws at the first Dead & Co. show I went to earlier this year at the Forum, and I had to check my bag, like walk halfway around the parking lot to the bag check thing, check it, go back to the entrance. So I ended up missing like a few songs in the first set, which was
Hard. That's don't tough. Like that. We parked like half a mile away, so there's a lot of walking up. Got there. That was all pretty seamless. I was disappointed, obviously, with the revelation that the merch line was just not going to be a thing, not happening. And waited in line for Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi was all they had. That's fine, too. And found my seats.
Yeah, we was Ubering to the venue. And like, really, aside from the Forum snafu, didn't have that hard of a time getting in. Which was surprising because the Gorge, I think night one, we got to the shows like pretty early, like at least like an hour. I think the first night was like an hour and a half early to like set up a seat on the lawn. And it was maybe the hottest I've ever been in my life, like sitting on a hill with the sun just like beating down on you.
What time do Dead & Co. shows start? Is it like a daytime affair or is it a nighttime thing?
It's a nighttime thing, but they start like a little after 7, I want to say, like 7:10, between 7:10 and 7:20, and then go until like 10:40 to like 11-ish. So it's a pretty long...
Do they have an opener?
No, it's okay. Just them. So they'll play, and they play two sets. Like each set is about like... an hour, hour and a half, and then they take like a 30-minute break, like a 20 to 30-minute break, and then they come back for the next set.
Okay, so Taylor went on about 8:30 and played until 11:45.
Wow.
And I think she was off the stage for a total of maybe 4 minutes.
That's a long show.
Long-ass show. We literally were halfway through, and I was like, oh my God, we still have Folklore... 1989, Midnight. Like, there were so many more eras to go. And I was like, this is unbelievable.
So she does like a four-hour show?
Yeah. It's like 40-something song. There's little breaks in between for costume changes.
But it's like, and just there's like a little, all the way through.
Yeah.
Holy
shit.
It
is astounding. I have never seen anything like this. This is like athlete level. I'm dying to know. This is, of course, me in my brain. I'm like, what is her... pre-show routine and then a post-show routine, like how
do
you
know?
I'm dying to know,
because like I feel the same way about Dead and Company, because their shows, like obviously they've rehearsed songs and stuff, but every show is different, so the set list changes and a lot of their music is improvised. Like they play the song, but then they'll go on like these improvisational tangents, and so it's really like they have to be on, like paying attention to each other, attuned to each other, and then you get as a result these like each show has its own like unique like magical musical moments where you're just like, oh my God, they're playing like the shit out of this song, and it's like so amazing. But I am like, it is athletic as well, because it just asks so much physically and like from your brain.
And the mastery level that you have to be at is off the charts.
Yeah.
So Taylor's set is entirely the same. And then about 3/4 of the way through the show, she has her acoustic set, which is every single night is two acoustic songs that are different.
Wow.
So somebody... on Spotify, some angel put together the Eras Tour surprise songs that they've been updating in real time. And I'm going to drop that playlist in the description here because it is Taylor Swift Deep Cuts and it's the best playlist. It's quite good.
I kind of think like Taylor could have her own Sirius XM channel because
I would
there's
listen.
So much live like
yeah.
content. And I feel like Swiftie culture is like, oh, they know this song from like this show. Like, there's just a lot to mine from.
There really is. So LA had, so she did, it's six nights total in LA, and she did some pretty amazing surprise songs. The night before I went, she did You're On Your Own Kid from Midnights and then Death by a Thousand Cuts acoustic, which, sad that I didn't see that, because Death by a Thousand Cuts is, to me, like one of the best songs that she can do acoustic ever. I'm obsessed. I live for those lyrics. So see, this is where the Swiftie in me comes out, and I'm like, should I temper it? Should I be more chill? But I guess not. So we got Dress from Reputation, which I've never craved hearing that acoustic on a guitar, but it was nice. Like, it was fun. I knew the words, so that always helps. And then she did Exile from Folklore.
Was that the one, though, with the guy from...
with Bon Iver.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that song ever. But it hit.
It hit.
Love that.
It hit really hard. It was beautiful. And she hadn't done that one the whole tour yet. And so people had been waiting. And I think that there's some sort of, like, Swift theory that in one of the videos, I think for Midnight's Era, it says like Exile ends and it's like at 1 o'clock at midnight. And so people are like, what's next? What's happening next? So the fact that she played that is now like everyone's in a tizzy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A Swifty tizzy. A swizzy.
I love that. A swizzy.
But I will say that what stood out immediately, and this, I'm so fresh off seeing the show, so like something else might pop in my brain, but Reputation was incredible. Like, that was that set list, I thought that was the best. Some of the songs that she pulled from the various eras, I was like a little mid about, but the Rep ones were like all A+.
Yeah, that's just a, such a great album, and like
all bops, no skips
behind it.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I would love to see Rep Era.
But all morning, I was found myself in a place of Evermore. And the Evermore set was stunning. The visuals were beyond. Like, I found a new voice with the album, which was fun.
Taylor really got off her ass and said, I'm going to go to work this tour.
She did. And you know what I was thinking about, speaking of getting off your ass? What do you think the conversation would have been like, or was like, if Northwest was like, Mom, all my friends are going to Taylor Eras, can I go?
Probably have to just say yes, right? And have like a babysitter take her.
Yeah, sure. I hope so. But like, the entire Rep Era came from Kim Kardashian calling Taylor a snake.
It's and crazy too, to like be a child and then have like these god and goddess like figures of our current culture be like, oh, she like this song that you really like from her, like my dad like had something to do with that.
And I also find it funny because I think Taylor is in an untouchable zone right now. Like, this tour,
I know,
has put her in into like a whole new stratosphere, to the point where I don't think she needs to do, like, she never needs to do another red carpet again if she doesn't want to. She truly can be incredibly choosy of how she interacts with the like standard flow of like entertainment industry. She doesn't need it. Like, she has put
it's
herself
just crazy, like, and inspiring to see someone who sets a goal such as the goals that she sets and then go out and like make that happen.
But really all it was is she kept doing her thing. She kept putting out albums that were strong.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she kept writing, she kept recording, and then she performed when she was then able to. And I love how the art speaks. And it doesn't like, you don't need the rest of the stuff. Like, she doesn't have to have her comments on her Instagram turned on. She really has like full control over the narrative. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of love it that Kanye has like completely fallen off, and Kim's a little bit also fallen off. Will always love, but I'm still like, sorry, this is what happens when you're a dick.
When you're a hater.
Yeah.
I know, I really, I like root so hard for like a Kanye comeback, though it seems further away than ever. Every day we stray further from God's light, but like I hold out a lot of hope. But that also might just be like my like Al-Anon tendencies. So I wish him love and light, and I do love Kim, but Taylor, it is like you can't argue that she's like killing
she
it.
She rose up from the dead, to quote a Taylor song.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like beyond, like truly on a whole other level, but it's her, and she's so dynamic on stage. She's really, the word that came to mind was embodied.
Oh my God, I was just gonna say that.
There's just a new level of confidence. I think she definitely did some work with the choreographer and like got in tune with her body and just like owns that massive, not just stage, but that entire space is in the palm of her hand. And it was incredible to watch. I've never seen anything like that. Like, I've seen Madonna live. I've seen, obviously, Britney. I've seen Christina. I've seen all the girlies.
You've seen Beyonce?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Beyonce was amazing. All of them were great. But I've not seen, I think it's something to do with just how the lyrics of Taylor's song hit on such an emotional level, that like there's that, and then there's also the performance, and that combined is something that's unique.
Every video that I've seen from people posting about the shows, I'm very in awe of her like embodiment, because it is way more elevated than 1989 era, just like strutting up and down like the same portion of stage and like welcoming a soccer team.
Exactly. No, she's like, at points she's like sprinting from one part of the stage to the next, and then she's like picking up her guitar and doing an acoustic set.
I want a documentary like making of Eras Tour.
I think we're gonna get it.
Okay, good.
The first three nights of Eras were videotaped.
Okay. Yeah, because I would love to know the, like, before and after routines.
Right.
Like, is she, like, getting massages? Like, I want to know, I want to see, like, I want a whole behind the scenes. Like,
it was beyond. I don't even have words.
I love that. Yeah, and I would like to know that for, like, John, too. Like, I feel like it must be exciting, but also really intimidating to join a band that's, like, or to like essentially start a new iteration of a band that is like so beloved and like so iconic, and then figure out how you and your musical style lends itself to like recreating or like creating a new version of this kind of music. And I definitely think like in this last tour, it felt very, I think a lot of the times he would do his best to like not go like too mayor with his voice, and then this past run of shows I feel like he was just like going full mayor, and it was really great because it's like, oh, I want to see like this person do their thing in this role and like have a lot of fun with it and like lend their sound to this, because it does mix in like a really unique way. And you can just tell like at certain parts watching him play and like watching him interact with other musicians on stage that he's having so much fun. And that's like the best.
I can't even, it must be a pinch me moment dream for him to be able to do this.
Yeah. Like I can't imagine like finding something that you love so much and then like getting to be a part of its history forever and like learn about it intimately and like with some of the original members of this like institution, so to speak. I'm sure it probably has its ups and downs. Like I think Bob Weir, who's like the second lead guitar and other main vocalist, I think he's like kind of a grumpy guy and he likes to play songs slower, at like a slower tempo than they were originally, which is fine. I mean, he's like older, but like definitely crowds like complain about that. Some people like don't even acknowledge like John Mayer, like they don't acknowledge Dead & Co as being like Grateful Dead. Like it's like not their Dead experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just it's just interesting. And I love like the improvisational nature of playing together, because it's like you get these really special one-off moments, and then you also can like hope to get a certain song or a certain run of songs, and then like when you get it, it feels so special and made for you. And a lot of the like pre-concert or like set break conversation is like, oh, do you think they're gonna open with like this song? I think they're gonna play this, and like no one knows. It's like both really endearing and annoying, because no one knows what their next set is going to be. But everyone, especially guys, like love to weigh in on
the
that.
Conversation is part of the experience. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a really similar thing with the surprise songs and people really trying to channel what she was planning on doing.
To see people like, or musicians specifically, like really having fun on stage, there's such a difference like when someone is going through the motions,
right,
and like just doing the work, and then someone who's like, I love doing this and I'm like having such a good time.
It's so inspiring to get to watch, and I think I've like fallen back in love with the live experience, because obviously none of us could have that for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Into the Woods when it was here at Thea Manson, which was on Broadway and now it's touring. So if anyone is like a light Sondheim fan or a heavy Sondheim fan or just loves live theater, it was like seeing a Broadway rock show. People were screaming along to the song. I mean, it was really, it's something's like been reinvigorated. We're all back. We're like, give us the arts.
Yeah. And my post-COVID motto, I think especially for live shows, is just get as close as you can mm-hmm. to the stage. Like mm-hmm. I would rather pay out the ass for a ticket or whatever I can afford and get as close as I can afford to get, and know that that's going to give me a way better experience than being like, I want to go, or like, this is less expensive, so I'll just sit back here, even though like I could ball out and get close. Just get close.
Yeah.
You're going to want to be like fully immersed, and like the energy is just so much better the closer you are.
Agree.
It just is.
Like I was thinking, like I had some friends who are in some suites, which, love that for everybody, but that so wouldn't far. Have been fun.
No.
Unless everybody in there is like ready to sing along and dance.
But even then, it's just like, it's
a lot
far
of looky-loos. It's just a lot of people staring.
Yeah. And like, even when I've had artist passes at certain events, like I would always rather just go out and get right in front of the stage, because you're going to get all that's going to sound better. It's way more dynamic and you're like in it. I was like trying, because where we were standing, like when you went up to go to the bathroom or go get food or something, was right next to like the entrance and exit for anyone with artist passes. So I was always like keeping an eye to see who was coming and going. And I don't know if you know this guy. He owns like a streetwear brand called Camp High. His name is like Ivan something, but he's like friend of Mayor. And I saw him and his wife and like their crew kind of walking out, and I was like, oh, the whole crew's here.
I had a really weird John Mayer experience one time at a festival. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't, but I witnessed some interesting behavior. It was in the era of him dating Jennifer Aniston, so it was a while ago.
Wow.
Very long time ago.
This is pre-Sheena.
Yeah. It must have been.
Yeah.
And we were at this festival called Rothbury, and we all had artist passes, and it was in Michigan. And the whole weekend we could like go anywhere. It was sort of like our passes were let us kind of have a time. And as soon as John and Jennifer got there, which was on the last day, all access got shut off.
No.
Which was not the vibe of this particular festival. It was like Dave Matthews was playing, Snoop Dogg was playing. It was a whole, I mean, there were proper talent there, and all of a sudden John Mayer gets there and it was like, sorry, you can't come over here. And I always,
you resented,
just like made note.
I don't love that.
Mm-mm.
That was pre like cool Mayer.
Yeah,
yeah, when he got like more Montana, like out of yeah. the fray.
Now he's just walking around with a messenger bag.
Messenger bag. He has like a really interesting watch collection. I'm always trying to learn like what watches he's wearing. His like outfits are always really good, like on tour. So just lots of like streetwear brands, cool shoes. Mm-hmm. But it also is just like a fun time because in the crowd that goes to these shows is like, you get everyone, like everyone's dancing, like especially if you're on the floor, like a
especially
GA
if
area.
You're on mushrooms.
No. And especially if you're on mushroom, it's like gyrating. And it's the kind of dancing that's like, you can just do you. Like there's a whole section called like where like spinners will be and they just spin around in circles. Like, and that's just like their thing that they do during all these fun. Shows. They spin and spin and spin and spin. There's like weird, like druggy, like shirtless guys, like just kind of flailing or getting interpretive. There was a father-son duo at the Gorge when we were on the Friday night show, like in the lawn. And the dad was just like kind of doing slow Tai Chi moves with his eyes closed for the whole time. And I was like, I love that vibe. Like, everyone's on their own journey and you just like respect their journey and they respect yours. And I like to see the different levels of self-expression.
That's nice. Oh, I was going to ask you, okay, so what is your, so like my death by a thousand cuts is my like, I'm going to start crying. Mm-hmm. What's yours?
Damn, it changes a lot. For dead. But what I really, really wanted to get was Terrapin Station.
Okay.
And I got it. At the Forum, and it was amazing. And I wanted to get like St. Stephen, and I got that. Like I got pretty much everything that I wanted. And my only FOMO and the only reason I wasn't at the show is because I had a show that night. But the July 15th show, which was like a Friday night, it was the July 14th show. Sorry, that was the Friday night. They played like every song that I really would have wanted. Like the set list was just so good. I was like, oh my God, they played all the bangers. Like what's even left? And the other two shows were great. But like that was a tough one to miss.
I am a huge Indigo Girls fan. And they also do like a different set list every night. And they post the set list. And that's, I've just been following that for their summer tour because I didn't get to go when they came to California, but I love an artist that will switch up the set list.
I know, it's really cool and makes it even more like I understand now. Like at first I like didn't understand the allure of like a live show or like why people listen to like live versions of a band. It was just like really lost on me, especially like in high school. And then after just getting really into the Dead, like after 2015 and going to all these shows of Dead and Company over the past years, I like totally understand why you go to one and you're like, I got to figure out how to go to like as many as possible on this run.
Were you ever a Dave Matthews person?
I was, but I was never allowed to go to his shows because he didn't play in Oklahoma City. He'd play in Dallas and that was 3 hours away. And I was just like never allowed to go down to Dallas to see a show. So
I feel like it's like a gateway to the jam band.
Oh, yeah. It was big time gateway. And then like when I was in high school, I went to like some Bob Weir and Phil Lesh shows because they had a band together. And like Bob Weir, they had a band together. And then I think Bob Weir had his own band called Rat Dog. So like they played at the Oklahoma City Zoo a few times. So I would go to those. But that was more about just getting like fucked up on mushrooms and like almost blacking out and then maybe hearing like a Dead song, but not like more immersed in the music experience.
Now this is the adult version.
Yeah. The adult version of me like doesn't need to like, I mean, I will, don't get me wrong, take some psychedelics and have a fun time, but I can still go through an entire show stone cold sober and have the best time.
Yeah, that's what I did last night and it was perfect.
You get a lot of steps
in. I was high on the supply of Taylor and I all morning I was like, I feel like I'm coming down from drugs.
I know it's hard when it's all said and done.
What a high. Okay, I think we should say, since obviously the manifestation powers on this very show have are really working in our favor, mm-hmm. shows that are coming up that you might want to see.
I really want to go to Beyonce.
Same.
And I think I'm pretty sure I've manifested a ticket, face value, floor seat ticket.
Okay, okay.
I need to double check with my plug on that, but that's one that I'm really excited for just because, like, I've seen Beyonce a few times and you just can't go wrong.
Does not disappoint.
What else is coming up?
Kylie Minogue in Vegas is
that's
my number one.
Yeah. Erika Jane in Vegas.
And then Erika also, Jane.
That's a must.
Erika
as well.
Jane is happening.
Yeah. I see a Vegas journey.
Yeah.
In Q4 for sure.
Would love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's important to see the girlies.
It's essential. And I did get to see Lady Gaga jazz and piano that she just reannounced she's doing that. If anybody.
Oh,
if that
going
sparks
to Vegas
anybody's
again?
Fancy, go to that show. It was incredible.
I want
to
see that.
It was so special.
Would she sing at La Vie en Rose?
She does.
Oh, it's over. I'm going.
It's so good. She has like a 40-piece band behind her.
The costumes are
unreal. During the costume changes sets, she's giving like a black and white documentary style, like history of jazz.
We need
it's
that from
so
our teacher.
Perfect.
Chromatica Ball was a highlight of 2022. That was my last like manifestation concert experience. And from top to bottom, it was like perfect.
I was devastated that I didn't get to go to that.
It's a devastating loss to have missed out.
I'm
on
hoping
that.
We get a Chromatica Ball in some form. I know we she's do. Working on a doc, but I would love to see that back out there. I just think that jazz and piano is just probably like easier on her system. And I know that she struggles a bit. So
and Vegas residency is fun, but I would 100%.
You know, Midas's middle name is Chromatica because
I
was like deep into a revisitation of the Chromatica album when we got him.
Oh, I love that.
Midas Chromatica.
Tony's middle name is Marie, just like mine.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. Wow, what a haul. Did we cover everything?
I think we covered everything. Merch wise, the band merch on site sometimes has been good. Sometimes I wish that I'd gotten like my shit together and maybe gotten a poster from one of the events because they were, but also the posters that they were giving to people with VIP tickets, which I didn't have, were cool, but I could probably find, like, you can find whatever you need online.
That's true.
I'd rather just do that than like wait in a line and miss out on any songs.
Still really trying to procure a blue crew neck though.
I feel like you'll get the blue crew. Oh, another great memory was as I was walking out of the final show that they did in San Francisco was amazing, although like it kind of ended with like it just felt like, oh, this is the end, like this is it, and then it's just over all of a sudden, like kind of unceremonious. But they did have a drone show, which was I've never seen anything like that before, where like hundreds of drones that are synchronized, like all light up with LED lights and can create like 3D like skeletons, like tipping their top hat and like do all these crazy formations. And
wow.
That was really cool during like their drums in space part where the band members leave and like just the percussion guys just go nuts with like an improvised like drums solo. That gets very house music or like deep African kind of beats music. It's really cool.
Fun.
Yeah. As I was walking out after the show, like a really kind of tweaked out shirtless guy turned to me and he goes, "I love your bob." And I said, "Thank you so much." And I was like, I love that he knew what a bob was and he saw a bob he liked and it was mine.
Honestly, what a nice out on the way.
It was a great gift. Yeah.
I love your bob.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, it was great. Cherry on top.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that my niche of the concert was the tickets showing up. And that was really amazing because I like felt like in my heart, I was like, I know I'm going to get to the show. I don't know how. And I just, it was an exercise in trust that what's right for you will show up.
Yeah.
And then my sheesh. Oh, my sheesh is seeing the moms who were so obsessed with catching content that they weren't even watching the show. That was a little bit of a cringe, but also like if that's what they want to do with their time, God bless. But it was like giving Mean Girls mom, like Regina George's mom.
Like trying to dance and stuff.
Yeah,
and
like but like with the girls camera. And like tell it like she was this woman in front of me was like choreoing, like trying to get like the right content from the maybe 6 year old she was with. It was
okay, that's a scene, rough.
But I think there was like a lot of that. It was either that sort of mom or there was a mom who's like, you need to just fucking chill and I don't care that you're freaked out by this atmosphere right now because I'm living my life. And then there were like the Shannon Medore moms that were just like, I'm chaperoning and I'm hanging.
Were there moms that were like singing along with their daughters?
See, I didn't see that kind, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
I really just had those three in my eye line and I was just...
It's hard when
taking it in.
Someone's energy, especially like at a dead show. Like I don't take like mushrooms or psychedelics at every show, but like I just kind of check on my own vibe and I'm like, am I ready to do this or is this going to make me feel uncomfortable? And
right.
then like if I'm in a good headspace, I'm like, let's go for it. And but like then I get really sensitive to other people's vibes and they start to throw me off. So like there were... My only sheesh was like there were these two couples kind of in front of me at the very final show. And it was clear that like I was like, who here like likes the Grateful Dead? It seems like none of them did. And like especially the women that were with them or like one of the girlfriends was like maybe in it to see John Mayer, but like was not dancing, kind of had her arms crossed, was just like standing still. And I was like, why are you guys in this area of all areas if you're going to just be like not dancing and losing your minds and like having your faces melt right now? Like you've got to get out of here. Then I tried to like scoot in front of her because I was just like, I can't even like see these people because I'm starting to trip and this woman is like throwing me. So I kind of got in front of her, but then I heard her being pissed about that. She was short and I was tall. And then I was like, okay, I can't like ruin someone's show by like standing in front of them, even if they're a sourpuss, like
that's thoughtful.
You gotta just like fall back in line. And then that moment passed and I was like, you know what? And then finally at the end she kind of was loosening up a bit and like having a good time and I was like, there you go. There you go. But I just want everyone to like dance and have fun.
Yeah, that's really the point. I mean, I unlocked inner child levels of joy.
Yeah.
And that was the best part.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much fun. I was truly jumping around up and down like I was on a trampoline, but it was just my own excitement.
Yeah, you were exuberant.
It was beyond. It was so good. So, Taylor, in case anyone hasn't told you, great job.
Great job, girly.
Keep it up.
God, John, Bobby, O'Teal, fucking Jeff, Mickey, and that other drummer. Sorry to you. I don't know your name off the top of my head. You guys slayed, and I give it an A+ all around.
A pluses.
And thank you to my booking agents for just like hearing that I needed to time up shows and then kind of just timing up every other show organically so that I could already be in San Francisco when those shows were happening.
To quote Gabby Bernstein, the universe has your back.
Mm-hmm. Well, follow us. We'll link to the playlist in the description.
Yep.
I can link to like some set lists if any dead heads are interested.
I do think this calls for a future dead hall to sort of get us all
on the same page.
Introduced. Mm-hmm. Because I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, don't worry, I can be your guide.
Wonderful.
For that.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you next week.
Yeah, until next time.
Stay niche.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you loved today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.